The Parsha contains the famous verse of Yachatza v'Savata v'Erachta, which is the source of benching and really discussion for all Hilchos Brachos. So I want to talk about something that I noticed in the news last month. In the news last month, I put a link to this in the email. There was a discussion about a young man who's a football player in Ohio whose coach unfortunately forced him, for whatever reason, to eat pepperoni pizza, something not kosher. And if he didn't, the penalty would be on the entire team. Now, what's wrong with pepperoni pizza? If you're Jewish, it's not kosher, as we know. Now, originally, when I read the story the first time, I thought it was about a Jewish young man who was threatened with this and it was terrible, and, you know, that's really bad. Now, it is bad with the coach, and the coach was fired along with the rest of the coaching staff. But when I went back to the article today, he wasn't, in fact, Jewish. He was a Hebrew Israelite, like those guys hanging out in Manhattan. So, okay, you shouldn't force anybody to do something like that. That's wrong, but they weren't Jewish, so it's not really a halachic shiloh, but it does open up the discussion to talk about what is the halachos pertaining to food that is not kosher. Question A being, do you make a brach on food that is not kosher? And if you have to eat food that's not kosher, for b'makom sakana, do you make a brach in that situation? Which opens up into all types of fascinating different tangents and paths. So let's begin. This, like you would think this sugi would be, is Gemara in Brachos and Daf Mem Hei Amid Alf. The Mishnah says, Achal Tevel, if you are eating Tevel, that means food that you did not take Trumas and Maisis from, U'maisa Rishon Shal Nidl Trumaso, where you have Maisa Rishon that the Levi has, they didn't give Trumas to the Kohen, U'maisa Sheni Behektish Shal Niftu, or you have Maisa Sheni or Hektish that you were, did not pot, you did not redeem properly, V'ashamish Ochal Pachos M'Gazayis, or a waiter who's waiting the meal and is eating less than Kazayis, that's not really relevant for us at all. Or a Nachri, a non-Jew, that's also not relevant for us. But we care about the first part, Ein Mizamnim Alav. We do not include those people in a Zimun, in making a Zimun. So, why? Because they ate something that is usser. And it's not appropriate that if your neighbor, you're having grilled cheese, and your neighbor next to you is having chicken parmesan, it's not appropriate, well, that's a Madeira bun, let's pick a Doraisa, is having a cheeseburger, so it's not appropriate that you should make a Zeman together. It's a bit of a chutzpah. We're going to, like, join together in one Suda? That's not appropriate, understands the Gemara. So the Gemara in Brachos Mem Zayin says that even Isurei Derabanan, you cannot be mitzvah for a Zeman, a Tevel Midirabanan, or like the chicken parmesan, like we said before, it's usher to make a Zeman together as well. And the Prima Gadim says even a Suffolk d'oraisa would be usher. If I have a food that's a Suffolk d'oraisa, the Kafachaim says a Suffolk d'rabanan would be mutter to make a Zeman. Now, that has to do with Zeman. What does that have to do with brachos? So the Gemara has nothing to say about making a brach on food that's not kosher. You will search Shas wide and low, high and low, and you will not see an open Gemara telling you to not make a brach on food that's not kosher. The source really is a Rambam. Here we have a Machlokas Rishonim, whether the Gemara in Brachos Zimun extends further to Brach Rishonim. Can I make my own presumption? Well, if I can't make a Zimun with you, if I can't bench together with you, then certainly I can't make a Bracha. So the Rambam writes in Echos Brachos Perak Alf Halach Yutes that there's no Brach Rishonim or Brach Achron on a Davar Asr. Kol ha'ochel davar aser bein bezarim bein b'shkaga, einu mevarach alav, whether you eat it on purpose, whether you eat it by accident, you don't make a bracha on it, lo betchil, b'sof, not a bracha rishona, not a bracha achrona. So that's the halacha. You get in your mind tonight that you're interested in something not kosher, and you go out to eat, so the Rambam says, good for you, if that's what you want to do, but nevertheless, no bracha. Yeah. Ah, good. Not, we'll wait for the lumdus in a moment. Good. So, this is the sheet of the Ra'ah in his Perish on Brachos, the Ritvin Hilchos Brachos, Rabbeinu Yeruchim, the Sefer HaPardes. The reason according to these Rishonim, the Ram never gives his reasoning, but the reasoning according to the Rishonim is the Gemara in Bava Kama. The Gemara in Bava Kama Tzadi Dalet says that you cannot make a bracha of Hafrasha Schala on stolen wheat and flour. Why, says the Gemara? Because it says in Tehillim, Bot say Berach Na'etzla Hashem. The robber who recites a blessing is blaspheming Hashem. How is it I'm going to take something I'm not... Hashem told me, don't eat that. And now you go and say, I hear you loud and clear, God, I'm going to eat that, and now I'm going to thank you for it. So the Rush and the Rishonim say, it's a bit of a chutzpah, you shouldn't do it. Yeah. Yeah. We do our Parashas Chah now, Dayan Chasar, as a Shui, you should remember that when a Mashiach comes, we get to Eretz Yisrael, we should do it. Everything we do is a Zeicha. That's what we do it nowadays, yeah.
Rambam says, Kol Ochel Bavor Hosur, Dayan Bishkoga. If you're eating it Bishkoga, how do you know that it can't be wrong?
Brach Achron, meaning somebody came to you afterwards and said, you did that the wrong thing. Good. So who disagrees with the Rambam? No one less than the Ravid. The Ravid on that Rambam and the Rush in Maseches Brachos all argue, and they maintain, that the fact that a person violates a mitzvah against eating an iser shouldn't cause him to violate another iser. It's bad enough you're doing one avera. What, you should do the second avera and not make a bracha? And the Ravid says it can't be. Of course you should make a bracha. Why not? So they don't think so. They're too, a mitzvah above avera, it means when the two items are happening at the same time. Meaning the lulav hagazel, for example, right? So here, they're going to... Well, hold off on that thought one second. Well, we'll wait for that for a moment. So the Ravid says, no, well, it's bad, okay. Yes, but you're getting hana, aren't you? The birchas hana is a birchas hanenin. You cannot deny the fact that you're enjoying the food. What does that have to do with where it came from? You make a bracha that you're enjoying the food from Hashem. And the Ravid says, Tob is etos gadola. The Rama made a terrible mistake. Shlo amru shein mevarchan ala shein mezamin aleim. Excuse me, I think we have the same Gemara, says the Ravid. The Gemara says, Ein mezamin, it doesn't say in mevarchim. If the Gemara wanted to tell you, don't make a bracha, it probably would have said it. No, because like it's literally a step away. That would have been like the first thing you would have thought of. And it didn't say it. She'en lehem chashivas kaviyas ha'ol va'ochlen davar asar. V'uke'en achilas peiro she'en lehem keva lezimun. Ava bracha tchila v'sof. Lama le'ivarcha v'nagu. He says, why? What does A have to do with B? The Gemara should have said something. And this is what the Rush not only brings it in his halachos, but he brings it in the Tosus HaRush as well, there in Maseches Brachos, and his son, the Tur, also brings in Simon Kuf Tzarivav, which we'll see in a second. So, in Psachim, though, there seems to be a seer in the Rush. Because in Psachim, the Rush says one shouldn't make a brach on Matzah Gezula. The Rush says that if you have Matzah that's stolen, you shouldn't make a brach on it. So, the Mefarsh and the Rush say, but you told me I can make a bracha on non-kosher food. So if I can make a bracha on non-kosher food, then why can't I make a bracha on the stolen matzah? So what would you say?
It's really a practice. The matzah is a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat.
Yes.
So to make a bracha on stolen matzah, it's real hypocrisy.
Ah.
To make a bracha on pork.
Oh, good. So the pilpula charift on the Rush says it in a sharper way. He says that one is a birchas hanen, one is a birchas hamitzvah. If I make a brach rishon on pork, so I'm not lying, right? Hashem did make the pork, and I am getting hana from it. So okay, I shouldn't be doing it, but it's not a stira. But how can I say asher kedushon b'mitzvos v'tzivanu on this thing that I stole? That's a bit of a chutzpah. And it says a people charifta, not a kash on the Rush. Some people like matzah. So, very good. So, the Shulchan Aruch brings this lahalacha in Kuf Tzadivav. I didn't bring it for you over here, but he says in Kuf Tzadivav, Sif Beis and Aleph, he says, Achal Davar Iser, Afa Pisha'eno, Aser El Midorabban, even if it's Aser Midorabbanan, Ein Mezamna Lav, Ein Mevarchan Lav, Lo Betchil, Lo Besof. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. And this is the Shita of the Poskim, the Lavush, and the Bach, and the Magen Gibor, and the Aruch HaShulchan, the Ksav Sofer. All right, you do not make a Baruch Rishona or Baruch Achrona on non-kosher food. So, that is step one for tonight. We should at least know there's no Baruch on non-kosher food. Now, the Taz over here, there's a beautiful Taz over here, where the Taz wants to make Shalom. He says that maybe they don't argue, and really he says that a person who intentionally violates an iser should not recite a bracha. If I do it on purpose, I shouldn't recite a bracha. But if a person eats a davar aser inadvertently, he should recite a bracha achrona. He thinks that the Ravid and the Rambam would agree to that compromise between the two. This is what the Eliyahu Rabba says in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Mishnah Berurah. Now, that's true. It's not what the Rambam says. So Rav Yaakov Emden writes in his Mora Kutsiya that he agrees with the Taz in Halacha. He says that if you eat a Davar Asr by accident, you should make a Bracha Achrona. That's what he says. That's what he thinks you should do. But he says that's definitely not what the Rambam and the Rai would hold. He says that's very nice, you want to make shalom, and that's beautiful, and I respect him for that, but that's not what the Rambam says. So that's, he disagrees with that lamdus, but he definitely agrees with the halacha. So according to the poskim, we would say if you ate something that wasn't kosher by accident, we would say you should make a bracha achron. That would be the halacha. The Aruch HaShulchan says, what if I have a ham sandwich? Should you make a bracha rishon on that? Why would I say you should?
Bread.
The bread. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that the Rambam would agree that you should make a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona because the bread is mutter. Hamotzei lechem in aretz. Just because there's a ham in it doesn't make the bread bad. So the way to get out of it is to make a ham sandwich, is the Aruch HaShulchan. You can have your ham sandwich and make a bracha rishona, and everybody besides Hashem would be okay with it. But at least it would be good according to the Rambam. Okay? Good. Next, let's go down to the next step. What about an iser kal? Let's say pork is very harsh. We're not going to have, you know, shellfish or pork or things like that. What about an iser kal? Something that's not bad, but not so bad. So the Gemara in Brachos Mem Zayin discusses this. The Gemara says, Achal demai. What about demai? What's a demai? Demai is a suffix whether I took trumas and maisos, right? So the Gemara says, Halachazilei. He said, the Mishnah said that if among the people eating, one ate demai, so he's allowed to make a zimun. So the Gemara says, but demai is not edible to eat. You shouldn't eat demai. It's usur. Kevan de ibai mafkar lehu l'nechsei havi ani. So the Gemara says, no. You can bench over it, because if he wanted to, he can make all of his property hefker, and he can make himself an ani, and it would be mutter, because a poor person is allowed to have demai. Theoretically, I could have demai if I wanted to. I could just make myself poor. V'chazilei, and it would be ready to go. Titzan, it says in the Mishnah, Machlin asa aniyam demai, you feed the aniyam demai, v'yasach sanya demai, and also if you have to quarter soldiers in your house, you're allowed to feed them demai, because if you need something to feed them. V'amar Rav Huna, Tana be'shamay orm be'shamay say, ein machin asa aniyam v'yasach sanya demai, you're not allowed to do it. So, what do we see from the Mishnah? We see from the Mishnah, from the Gemara, that if something is, you know, there's an iser kal, it's demai. It's not so chamer, but if there's a way to get out of it, then maybe you can bench on it. So the Chazanir says that we learn from the Gemara that something with an iser kal could be fixed, allows a person to be combined for a zimun, even though it's usher to eat the food. So the Pnei Yoshua is bothered by the premise of the Gemara. The Pnei Yoshua says, come on guys, what do you mean? Right now, it's usher. I could do something else later on, make it not usher, but right now it's usher. So who cares if I can make myself poor or feed it to soldiers? Right now it's usher. So the site that Achilles Yaakov in Brachos and Simon Chav Zion suggests that because demai, he flips the whole thing on its head. He says, really, demai is mutter. Really, demai isn't a davar usher. Demai is mutter, but we're machmir that people who have something else to eat shouldn't eat it, right? So therefore he says, if it's not an aver to eat it, we would never consider using it for benching, as it would be a mitzvah baba avera. But here he says, really, if something is be'etzem mutter, but you're machmer to not eat it, so then you're allowed to bench and make a bracha on it. So let's go through some examples. We know, in Yeridaya, that you can't make milchik bread, right? You can't have bread with milchiks mixed into it. The famous question of Thomas's English muffins, how is that allowed? They have milk, they're OUD. That's a discussion for another time. So, if you're gonna, you have milchik bread, are you allowed to make a bracha on that? What would we say? Yeah? Why?
It's an
iser kal. It's a very, very light thing. Just a minute, right? Good. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says that, yeah. No, the gezeiros, you can't, you shouldn't eat it. You shouldn't eat it if you make milk and bread. So, I hope that's not what you had for dinner. No. So Rabbi Eger says, it's just like demai. Why? Because there's a heter. There are ways to make milk and bread mutter. What do? Either you put a simen on it, you bake it in a small batch, so it'll be finished right now. So since there's a way to do it in a mutter way, says Rabbi Eger, so certainly it's not a problem. The Prima Gadim says, it's like any other Sidra Banan, and you shouldn't make a brach on it. So we have Machlokas, Rabbi Kveger, Prima Gadim, over there. What about Bishal Akum, or Chalav Akum? Somebody made you, your neighbor made you a delicious kosher steak, but they're not Jewish. So what would you say? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, you would make a bracha on it, because there are many kulas that come with Bishul HaKam, achola, things like that, and therefore you'd be allowed to do it. We're allowed to, he notes that you're even allowed to kasher kli cheres that had Bishul HaKam in it. We're very makeable by Bishul HaKam when we need to be. The Ritva in Hilchos Brachos and the Ksav Sofer say, it's an Isidur Rabbanan, and therefore you shouldn't make a bracha on them. What about Pasakum? So the Ritva in Hilchos Brachos says, if you eat the private bread of a guy, there's no bracha on it. And then there's a discussion about Stam Yenam. Good old-fashioned Stam Yenam. You have wine that is usher to partake of. So what would we say in this case? So the Be'er Heitev here, in Simukup Salivav, cites the tshuva of the Be'er Eshek. And the Be'er Eshek in Simen Kuf Tes argues that the Takana of Brachos was from the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, right? Brachos are from Anshei Knesset HaGedola and the Nevi'im. But when did Stam Yenam come in to play? Stam Yenam is from what? Later. Stam Yenam is by the Yud Ches Dvarim of Beis Sham and Beis Hillel, the beginning of the Gemara and Shabbos. That's much later. So the Be'er Eshek says, how could it be that a gzeira de rabbanan on Stam Yenam, which came later than the Nevi'im Anshei Knesset HaGedola, is going to override something that came earlier? Historically, it's out of order, he says. Yeah?
What about Ashkenazi and Pesach?
That's a good question. I probably would say yes, because that's Pashan and Israqal. Pashan and Israqal. So, what?
Just a minute.
Just
what they did before.
They benched, but now no Brach Rishona. There's no Brach Rishona. So Brach Rishona came before. So how can this later thing uproot the earlier thing? And therefore he says, certainly going to make a Brach on Stam Yenam. Everybody else goes crazy at the Be'er Eshek. Before the Be'er Eshek, the Ritva, the Rishon, says that it's Pashut, you shouldn't make a Brach on Stam Yenam. And the Acharonim all make the following point. They say, why does it matter when a Takan is made? What is the historical aspect of the Takana have to do with anything? Once something is Eser Derabanan, it can't get a bracha. We know that a later basin can technically uproot the Takana of an earlier basin. Earlier doesn't mean better when it comes to Takanos. Theoretically, we could uproot it, yeah.
We have to be bigger than the previous
test. But theoretically, we could. Meaning, the point is that... What? If technically we had, we could. Meaning... But just because your date comes earlier than this date, that's not a reason. There's other things that come into play. But just because it came first is not enough. Listen to what, this is the Halachos Katanos, the Behetev, who rejects this, the Birka Yosef, the Tiferes Yisrael, the Aruch HaShulchan, all reject this. I brought for you, because sometimes Rabbi Yaakov Emden has the most beautiful Charifas on paper, so I brought for you what he writes in the Sheolos Yaivis and the Chelakav. Listen to this. He says, Ki bevadai hayodim sefer, anybody who knows anything, lo yitu mikoach dvarim b'teim halal. It would not make such a mistake with such ridiculous words. Ki hema mehevel. They are empty. Yachad v'kelim aleyam. Mi ze machshich eitza b'milin b'li das. Who had such darkness with words without any meaning? V'lo chash l'kimche klal. V'nir d'lo yada b'shusa d'rabanan. He doesn't know anything about d'rabanans. D'yadua l'chol bar be'rav. Everybody knows. D'chad yom ha-shiyaf ha-kochen shal chazal l'akor davmir ha-torah. Chazal can be ochre a da'oraisa. Chazal can be uprooted a da'oraisa. Dor b'shevi al tasa. Afil b'isuri kares, even isur kares. So I can't make a brach rishona because, you know, I shouldn't not make a brach rishona because I can't let her know, he says. Certainly, of course, you're not going to make a brach on Stam Yenam. Okay, so that's part one. Let's move on to part two. And that is, what about b'makam sakana? Let's say a person's in danger. We'll go back to everybody's fabled desert island, right? You're on a desert island, and all they have is spam, cans of spam that washed up. Okay? That's all you have to eat. So, you're going to make a bracha rishon on that? So, the Ra'ah says in Masachos Brachos, and the Ritva as well, in Hilchos Brachos Rameen Rucham, that if someone eats a davar asr because of makam sakana, they don't make a bracha. It's still asr to eat. The eating is not a hana. It's b'makam tsar. I'm not happy that I'm eating spam. I'm not happy I'm eating, you know, something that's asr. The proof is the Gemara in Ksubas. One second, I'll tell you the Gemara in Ksubas. The Gemara in Ksubas, Daphne Aleph, says that if a woman is ne'anas, if a woman is being raped, so the halacha is that she's not asr to her husband. If a woman is mezana, she's asr to her husband. So the Gemara says, but what if it's Tchilaso Ba'ones, it begins Ba'ones, and then in the middle of the act it becomes Baratzon, it becomes something that she does not reject. So the Gemara, she's still not usher, the Gemara says she's still not usher to her husband. Why? Because the initial feeling that it was something that was not something she wanted. So similarly they say, the Hana of eating something that is bonus is not Hana, even though you may enjoy it later on. But anything I'm eating ba'ones against what I want to do, even though I may enjoy it later on down the road, right now it's something I don't want. And this is the sheet of the Bach and the Birka Yosef. Yeah.
What about
we'll get there. So all the Rishonim disagree with this shita. Almost all the Rishonim disagree with this, and they say you do not make a bracha. You do make a bracha on davar aser that's eaten b'makom sakana, a place of danger. The Rive, the Rush, the Tur, the Beis Yosef, the Rambam all say that if you eat a davar aser as a refuah, you're in danger. Then certainly you're going to make a bracha. The Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Tzadi Vav Beis here says im ochal davar aser b'makom sakana mevarcha alav, you make a bracha. And this is the sheet of the Levush, the Taz, the Magen Avraham, that it's a mitzvah here. It's mitzvah of pikuach nefesh, right? It's not just a davar aser. Now I'm fulfilling a mitzvah of saving my life. In the Shemar Tam L'Nashur Seichem, it's an achil shal mitzvah, and this is the psak of the Eliyahu Rab, the Prima Gadol, the Morah Katzil, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Chayadam, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishbura, all say that b'makom sakana, b'makom refua, you make a bracha on the food. However, the Magen Avraham makes the following point. The Magen Avraham in Siman Reish Dalad says that if the food is repulsive to you, and you are gagging it down, yes, I'm eating makom sakana, but it is so gross, like all there is to eat is like lobster, and you're looking at this giant crustacean, and you're thinking, how is it that guy eat this thing? It's disgusting, but you have to eat, so you're going to eat this piece of, you know, seafood. So in that case, says the Magen Avraham, don't make a bracha, because there's no hana at all. Yes, you're helping yourself, but there's literally nothing enjoyable whatsoever. And if it's, you know, really making you sick to eat it, you would not make a bracha in that case. This actually came up in the Holocaust. Rabbi Yeshua Aronson records in his Ali Maruros, his recollections, his writings after the Holocaust. He went through many, many different camps. He writes on page 242, Im levarach betadiris bracha machalos asuros, hanelchan pikuach nefesh. During the Holocaust, they ate all types of things. It was for pikuach nefesh. Nahagti levarech, my custom was amide dehetera shahakal. I would make it on something I could find that was mutter shahakal, and then I would cover whatever else I was eating. Vikivanti, and he would look at this, look at his sensitivity. What was my kavana shahakal? Kol mashir elanu afgam zosha nenu muchrachim lachol treifus sakim nafshenu niabidvaro shahakal. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, everything that brought us to this point, even to the situation I have to eat treifus. The Yabidvaru, it all was goes from you, Hashem. Nasa Baratzon Hashem. Al Kol Masha Baratzon, and then Bracha Achrona, Minayin Nikos Koach Achios Hasviya, everything we have to eat these things, comes, L'chayos Menevesh Kochai, comes from you, Koach Kiyumam, our ability to be sustained. And he says, this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and I would make constantly Shehakol on all these fruits. Yeah. Yeah. Timtum Halev. Yeah. So I think Rabbi Aronson is the only person to write on it. I think Rabbi Aronson is the only person to write on it. He said that he would make a shakal. He said there was all types of back and forth and diyunim in the barracks what to do. And he said, no, I make a shakal. And he convinced many people to do the same thing as well. That's what he did in those cases. Okay. Now, let's talk about Zman. We talked about Chatza. Let's talk about the Zman. Okay? So the Magen Avraham and Reish Dal and Sifkatan Chafal. And the Mishabur Reish Dal Sifkatan Mvav say that if Didi Yom Kippur, you make a bracha Rishona, and this is the sheet of the poskim. The Yad Mordechai and the Rivo Sefraim, Rabbi Greenblatt, says in Chelek Zion, and they argue that even though it's a mitzvah on Tisha B'Av, if a person's makom sakana, we wouldn't make a zimun together. If three people happen to eat bread together on Tisha B'Av, I don't know why that would happen, but let's say that does happen, they should not make a zimun together. Why not? Excellent. We don't make it a suda by Masekes, so we certainly wouldn't do it here. That's what they argue. Should three people who have to eat on Yom Kippur make a Zimun? So here, the Yad Mordechai and the Tshuva is Be'er Sarim. So, what?
It's still
Yantav. So he writes in Chelek Vav, there's no reason why they shouldn't. They ate bread. They had to eat. So they should make a Zeman. Why not? So the Siach Yitzchak in Simon Shem Dalid says there's no din of Zeman on Yom Kippur. He doesn't say that they don't have to. There's no din. There's no Torah's Zeman on Yom Kippur. And he argues that three people eating together, acknowledging publicly that they ate, even b'di'eved, have no chiyuv to be mefarsim. What's the point of a zeman? We're making a piersim, we're making a public display of thanking Hashem for eating. But he says, like, on Yom Kippur, that doesn't fit within the day, to publicly acknowledge in such a way you had to eat it. It's against the spirit of the day, and Rav Yashim and Shlomo Zalman said the same thing on Hilchos Shlomo. Says the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa in Perek Lamites, just avoid the entire issue together. Don't eat together in a group with bread if you have to eat on Yom Kippur, and this is what other poskim say as well. Can you include someone in a Zeman if they eat Shal Shuris after Shkia? Be'ezras Hashem, one day we'll have Shal Shuris back in Shul, and someone will come in late, and after Shkia they're going to wash and bench and sit down. Can I include them for the Zeman? So Rav Moshe has a Tshuvan or a Chaim Chelek Dal Tzimin Samech Tes, and he says if a person knowingly ate after Shkia, they said, no, you can't eat, it's after Shkia. And they said, thank you very much, I didn't ask you. And they go and they have a piece of a roll and a cake, whatever is being served, then he should not be combined for the Zeman. But if he didn't know any better, or he thought he could, then you can combine for the Zeman, says Rav Moshe. The Mata Ephraim in Siman Tov Reish Beis says that someone who ate by mistake on some Gedalia must bench, but if he should not be combined with those who had Beheter in order to make a Zeman. The Ma'arim Shikon or Achayim Siman Reish Samech says that if a Chol eats something that a doctor tells him not to eat, because it's dangerous for him, and it's detrimental to his health, like matzah or mara on Pesach, then he may not make a bracha. He's certainly not allowed to eat it, but he should not make a bracha as well if you eat something that's detrimental to your health. The Stechem discusses diabetes, a diabetic, who eats something, what?
Yeah, candy.
If they eat candy, things like that. So that's a big discussion as well. Rosh Shlomo Zalman in the Halicha Shlomo of Pesach says that if a person violates unishmartim od nafsho seichem, the mitzvah of keeping your health, then it's nachila shel iser. But then he kind of hedges it and he says, well, a lot of things could be unhealthy. Having 8 donuts could also be unhealthy. So he says, he seems to say, or he seems to go in this direction, that if it's something that is generally unhealthy and people eat it, they are dashu bei rabim, right? It's shomer pesayim Hashem. They're doing the wrong thing, but Hashem will protect them. And people don't care. They do it anyway. And it's not necessarily on its own, that single entity unhealthy by itself. So then he says, you could make a bracha. But it could be that if you ate something at this moment, right now, this thing is going to put me in danger, then would not make a bracha in that case. So it depends on what it is. Yeah. So what is one piece of candy going to do it? It could be. So it could be in that case the Ma'arim Shikha would say no. The argument is, though, at this moment, though, I'm getting Hana. Meaning, right now I'm getting Hana. In a few minutes, it's not going to be Hana. But right now, I am getting Hana. So that's the argument they want to play off each other. The Mincha Sisach Dain Weiss has a tshuva in Chelek Dalid about a Baal Tokeya who the doctor told him that if it's not good for his heart. It makes him very nervous, and it could give him a heart attack if he blows shofar. So Dain Weiss said, it's usher to blow the shofar. It's usher to listen to him. You can't make a bracha on it. It says you can't do it. So all kind of the same explanation. The last thing we'll just say from Shlomo Zalman. There's a beautiful sefer, a Torah journal that was put out called the Beis Yitzchak Levi. So they have a number of chedushim from Shlomo Zalman Arba HaMaseches Brachos. A few of them about this. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman was unsure whether one should make a bracha rishona on foods they didn't wash their hands first. If I didn't wash until Sadaim, should I make a bracha rishona? So he has another one. This is a good question as well. He's unsure whether, if I'm the Masadar Kedushin for a wedding, and it's Monday or Sunday or Tuesday, and I know that the Chassan didn't make Havdalah. Okay? The Chassan didn't make Havdalah. So now what am I going to do? I'm going to get up and make a bar pir gafen, right? And for the chassan to drink. It's usher for the chassan to drink until he made heard Abdallah, right? Sasri until he made Abdallah. So now I'm going to make up Ror Pia Gafen, and then I'm going to set him up to do something with Sasri. The Masada Kedushin doesn't drink the wine. He's making the bracha on behalf of the Chasim and Kala, right? So the meaning of Rav Chaim and the Brisker Rav was that they would drink it themselves. They would purposely spill a little bit on their hand, and they would take a little bit of a sip just to cover it. But if I'm not going to do it, so then says Rav Shlomo Zalman, what's going on over here? I'm making a bracha levatzala on something that's asur for him to eat. So he wants to argue as follows. He says that really this bracha is not about drinking. It's a bracha on the ceremony, the sanctification of the wedding. What's his proof? Where else do we make a bracha of Bor Pir Gafen, but no one really drinks it? By Bris Mila on?
8 day old boy.
But when? On Yom Kippur. A Bris Mila on Yom Kippur. By a Bris Mila on Yom Kippur, only one person drinks the wine, and that is the baby. The baby will drink the wine. Let's say there's no ketanim. The baby will drink the wine. But I'm not making the bracha for him. He's not a Gila Chinuch. So what's that bracha for? So says Rosh Hashanah, and perhaps we can say that there's a type of Borei Pri HaGafen that's not for drinking. It's just on the sanctification of the event. And then he says, perhaps and then for that reason, we could argue that the Masada Kedushin could make the bracha, but the Chasa didn't make Abdallah. That's what he wants to say. Okay, we should continue to eat only kosher food. And these things should not be halacha l'maisa.